I just don't like that idea that trans people always have to go out there and be a warrior. I used to post so much about social awareness stuff to the point that I get burned out, but then no one's going to look after me. I have to look after myself. So now I just posting that bring me joy. When I post about the bad that I go through every day with transphobic people, people said that I'm too negative. And now when I don't post about that stuff, I post about what I enjoy doing, my trip to Japan or my vacation or whatever. People said that like, oh, you just forget about your trans community. You could never win. So I just hope that cis people are helping us, teaching these people, rather than trans people constantly have to defend themselves, even in the place that we're supposed to feel safe in.
Ethan Devitt, and welcome to this 50 Faces Focus series, in which we are celebrating LGBT plus professionals in a special series for Pride Month 2023. I'm joined today by Vicky Lee, who's currently studying in the medical field and is a YouTube content creator as well as a marketing specialist. She is focused on concept creation for transgender individuals, including in the beauty, fashion, and modeling industries, and has spent time as a counselor to transgender youth. Welcome, Vicky. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your background? Where did you grow up and what were your early interests?
I grew up in Vietnam in a household biracial. Like my dad is Chinese, my mom is Vietnamese, and I've learned like the concept of like being different even in Vietnam. I'm Asian and both my family sides are Asian, but we have like different cultures and I just always felt different, but I didn't know how to express it. I've always been labeled something different. I was called slurs before I knew what it was. And I think my whole life, it's just like searching, almost like searching for the truth. And when I moved to New York, I found a community that really know how to express themselves and their feelings. And I've learned about transgender identities. And working in the club scene, I get to explore, I get to talk to and meet so many different kind of people. And slowly, I think I would just kind of play alongside with like that gender bending kind of like concept. And it make me feel really true to who I am. And I think slowly, that's when I started transitioning and everything just started making sense.
And how was that received by your family, by your Vietnamese relatives? I guess, what's the difference in inclusivity in the US versus there?
In a way, I feel like countries like Vietnam or any other country that doesn't have like the big spotlight on it, actually more accepted on a social level. I do know that a couple trans girlfriend of mine in Thailand, Thai culture is like celebrating transgenderism, but at the same time, they're not being recognized by the legal system. And same thing with Vietnam. I think it's pretty open, but like on like the paper marker, like you would still be labeled as male. Over here in the US, you can get through all of that. Like my passport or my ID, all of that has female on it. And, you know, you go through like different steps, you get to transition. And it's in a way it's easier, but on a social concept, there's a lot more backlash. So I guess you can't really win 100%. There's like a give and take in like, you know, both culture and both countries.
That's really interesting. And then tell us a little bit about your career. So you've worked in the beauty, fashion, and modeling industries, and also as a counselor to transgender youth. What have you learned, I suppose, through that?
Yes. So when I started transitioning, I did not know any transgender people. So I started going to the LGBTQ centers in New York, in Chelsea, and there's like a group that I like help facilitate every Monday. And it just happened to be Latina trans women who are in the sex working world. And they could not connect to me because I'd never done sex work. I mean, I never had a problem with that. It took me a while, but I think I got to the point that like I know exactly how to express myself and say that I never had to done sex work, but I never looked out on sex workers. And it was like a difficult journey for me to communicate that with my trans sister who I help facilitate. And just because we come from different backgrounds doesn't mean that like we don't have the same goals. Like all of us wanted to be free and be happy and be accepted as who we are. And that kind of helped me meet a lot more people who are trans, but like working in high position. I started to talked to a couple of trans girls who were in the fashion industry, and they got me connected to Trans Model Agency, which happened to be the first transgender agency. I never call myself like a model or anything because I don't meet the requirements to be a model. I feel like if anything, I'm all of like a model citizen. But yeah, I was one of their talent, and we get to do a couple of fun things. But I think that at that point, people were not ready for a transgender talent agency. So, you know, it really didn't go anywhere. And a lot of us like found work outside of the agency. But yeah, I mean, the best thing I would say about the agency is they gave me all the tools to explore my interests. I was working a lot behind the scene with them, and it made me kind of started my YouTube channel. And even when I started a YouTube channel, you know, it was still a very vague idea what I had in mind, what I wanted to do. But I kind of decided to do it part-time just because I was like holding my real-time job in the beauty and fashion industry. And I was like whole high position and I was making good money, and I kind of got comfortable. And I feel like that's the thing about getting comfortable. You just kind of forget your true passion. You just kind of get burned out, and then like you hate what you do. I feel like, you know, as people, we have way more power and we should go for our interests, like have a career rather than have a job. And at that point, I was just having a job. So I was doing YouTube part-time, and then I started my gender confirmation surgery. And I just could not find any information about that for my trans brother and sister. I was like, how do I know what to expect, what to do? So when I had my surgery, I wanted to document it. And looking back now, I don't know how I did it, because that was 11 days of like hell. It was very, very difficult. You know, I never had any surgery my whole life. And then all of a sudden getting into like such a major one, I did not know what to expect. But I remembered I had my phone with me, and I just trying to record as much as possible. And I kind of posted that on YouTube, did not think twice about it. You know, I did not care about the views or anything. I was just like, okay, if one trans person who about to have gender confirmation surgery, and they can see my video and like learn from it, maybe I'm doing my job already. And I kind of posted that video, did not think anything about it. And a couple months passed by, it's getting a lot of views and a lot of feedback from trans people who were happy that I've shared my experience. And then I started doing it more like, you know, often, because I had that whole year to recover from my surgery. I started recording myself doing mundane things, you know, just kind of exist as a trans woman. And I started gain like an audience, and my video like almost have like a million views. And, you know, I kind of like, okay, so that's what I'm supposed to do, you know? So now that's what I'm doing. Just have a YouTube channel, and I'm posting constantly now. So yeah.
That is outstanding. So brave and so vulnerable, but yet so important. And it's interesting how it was born out of a gap for you. And I suppose, why is there no content like that out there? Maybe it's considered too private, too sensitive, but equally, it's no surprise of the growth, because it's precisely because it's not discussed that people have a craving to understand for themselves. And I think it's such a service you're providing. So congratulations on that and on your following. I'm fascinated by this following you've built, because you've clearly been not only that content, but delivering other content that resonates. What have you found has resonated most? Where did you get the most engagement? And did any of that surprise you?
This is funny. I don't think a lot of people talk enough about this. It's like the hate that you get as trans people, just like for living and existing. I was really surprised how in the beginning, when I started getting a lot of feedback from YouTube, I just responded to everyone. In the beginning, it was positive, and then it got really dark. Like even now on a daily, I would go through hundreds of messages that tell me transgenderism isn't real, and that I'm just a man, and that trans people are pedophiles and all of that. And like constantly basically getting bullied. And that's the thing about like the trans representation and visibility and what we see out there. We just see people get to point A to point B really fast. We don't see anything in between. We don't see the hate that we get. We don't see like to piggyback to say about my like video about my surgery. We've seen a lot of trans people who got surgery and then be super happy. But we did not see anything in between. Like, what about the recovery process? For me, that was hell. That was so difficult. I wasn't a very athletic person. And all of a sudden, I was immobile. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do things like how I used to do. And it took me a year and a half to like fully feel like myself again. Even now, I feel like myself, but I'm not my old self. In a way, I guess, mentally, I'm in a better place, but physically, I'm just not there. And in terms of like what I found surprising about my whole journey is after it got positive, you know, trans people reaching out, saying how much that video helped them, all of a sudden, all the hate. And I just don't know, maybe because the algorithm, how it works is like whoever you respond to is kind of like connect you to more of those kind of audience. When I started getting a lot of negative feedback, I kind of made something out of it. Instead of like crying about it or whatever, I would just use that as a fuel to engage my audience and showing them that like, this is reality. You know, you get the positive part, but you also get a negative part. And a lot of those transphobic people are just idiots. So they made it too easy for me to make a joke out of it. And when someone, I remember posted on my video saying that like, how are you going to face God? And I responded to it by saying in my best designer's clothes. And it just like, just from that one response, like gained a lot of like, you know, support. And then also all of a sudden my audience right now are like transphobic people who view my video on a regular basis. Like, you know, they're like accidental fans. Like they don't know that they are. They're telling me I'm a man every day, but they watch everything that I do. And what they don't know is that I'm making money out of views. So in a way, I mean, thank you for being a good fan, because that's fan behaviors, you know. I just hate, I think if one thing I could change about it, it's like a lot of trans people that follow me are very young, and I just hate for them to see the negative side of it. I mean, I want to show them the truth, but sometimes the truth is so ugly. Even for me as an adult, on a bad day, it takes everything inside of me not to respond to these people, but sometimes I do. And you know what? I'm a human. So yeah.
That is absolutely hilarious that these haters are driving your views and your income, but equally very sad that you've had to encounter that level of vitriol. And I suppose it is a testament to you and your strength that you've been able to navigate notwithstanding. But thank you for sharing, I think, what many trans people must face on a daily basis. And clearly the internet empowers that. That's not something that anybody, well, some may, but hopefully many would not have the courage to say in person. So it is, unfortunately, a place for cowards. I'd love to talk to you now about LGBT inclusion in the world that you've worked in. How well do you think, you mentioned the industry, the talent agency, and there not being perhaps enough of a market for it initially. Have you seen inclusion evolve and representation in the places that you've worked?
I think I've been rejected so many times. I had this conversation with my mom recently, and she was telling me how me living in New York for the past 10 years, she sees so much potential in me. And it's kind of hard to talk about it just because everyone around me, everyone who got to know me, sees so much creativity and talent. And in a way, I was rejected for just being who I am, rejected, like, you know, of my talent, because they could not see past me being a trans person or a queer person. I've struggled a lot in New York in the beginning because I could not find jobs, because every job interview, they said people judge you within the first like 10 seconds, even though I have so much to offer. And I wanted to move there to mainly do fashion in the beginning. I could not find job because they just see me as a queer person, as a trans person, and they did not see that right there in their company, in their establishment. And it made me really disappointed, but I never gave up. And in a way, it worked out for the best. I kind of just like stumbled upon job from friends, from people that I know that kind of like helped me out. And I ended up in my last high-paying job in New York. You know, I was doing really well because the people who hired me happened to be gay men who love trans women, gay men who appreciate trans women, gay men who had experience with trans women, who see us as like their sister and stuff. And I'm very happy that I met those people in my life, because they've changed it for the better. When I was like looking at job that I was overqualified for, and I got denied it because a woman or a man who just like look at me up and down and be like, okay, you're not getting this job. And I got the door slammed in my face multiple times. And even when I was working with the trans model agency, I mean, it looks good on paper, it looks good on social media that like you're a part of something big, but that does not pay. Beauty or good representation doesn't pay the bills. And New York is expensive. Majority of us have to go out there, have to hold multiple jobs just to survive. And every job that I had, I've been discriminated in some ways, but it's like subtle. I remember when I was working as a club promoter for like these two big clubs in the Lower East Side, the guy hired me because he wanted to get in bed with me. And he's like took me out multiple times. And it's very hard being so young and, you know, not thinking beyond that. Like, I knew that these men were interested in me, but like, I just had to make the best out of it. In a way, it was almost like a business that I was just like, okay, well, if I go out to dinner with this guy and he give me a job, then I'm going to try to make the best of it. I'm just not going to go to bed with them because they don't have my consent. And I remember this guy just like kind of chased after me. You know, he wooed me with like flowers and dinner and all of that. And I was like, well, if you really care, if you really want to see me like, you know, happy, just like get me a job. So he gave me a job in his two clubs and I was working there. And then I met one of the like manager of the club. And I remember he was like a good looking guy, but like, I just thought that because I met his fiance and all of that. And I never really think more than that. And then I remember when I went downstairs and I worked till like 2 o'clock in the morning, I went downstairs to like pick up my check like usual. And that day it was just me and him. And I already felt like something was up. And I was like, okay, like it's kind of weird, just me and him in the office. And he was like, started grabbing his crotch and one hand on his crotch and one hand like hold the check. And he was like, your lipstick really turning me on. And I just felt so violated, but I was so young and I did not know what to do. And I was just like, kind of grabbed the check and I was like, okay, thanks. And I walked out. And that experience always like stay in the back of my head because I felt violated. And then in other experiences, it's just like, I'm being discriminated for like being who I am. So I feel like as a trans person, you come across multiple things. If you're not being violated as a trans person, you're being sexualized for or fetishized for being who you are. And that's like a constant thing. The only job that I was feeling empowered was like my last job in a beauty company that I held a high position being so young, being trans, being Asian. And I was making way more money than the people who usually would be in power position. But even then, I remember I was like, some of the cis women that I was working with, they still see me as almost like a, what is it? Like a token. Like people just felt so entitled to call themselves an ally or feel like they are part of the community. They are making changes just because they hire someone like me. But I feel like being an ally or being part of like the change movement, like, you know, want to move forward and being progressive and liberal, whatever. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a part-time job. It's a full-time commitment. And a lot of these people lack that, you know. Even when I felt most empowered, I still felt discriminated against. It's just like little microaggression, little comments here and there. It just, when you feel empowered as a trans person, there's always a cis person out there somewhere saying something, trying to make you minimize what you have accomplished and make you feel small about yourself or make you feel less than them. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And unfortunately, that good old-fashioned sexual harassment you mentioned at the beginning, downstairs, yeah, getting your check, I would hope, yeah, that some of the greater awareness around that, whether it's the Me Too movement or just more transparency around what's gone on and what's acceptable and what isn't.
Yeah, based on my experience, trans people just never believe when they say that they got sexually harassed because it's kind of part of like, oh, you asking for it. Just because we express ourselves in a extreme feminine way, they thinking that we're asking for it. And majority of people, introduction into trans women are through porn. So in a way, they always have fetishized the trans woman image. So for me, I remember when I first started wearing like mini skirt and high heels, all of a sudden I got these attention from men. And I have always dressed for myself to feel empowered, to feel like myself. And I've always got unwanted attention. And I know that everyone experienced that on some level, but the level that trans women experience it is almost like, well, no one's going to believe us. At the end of the day, they would rather believe it's this men who are harassing us rather than believing that like we got the harassment from men. They would basically, that's their brotherhood. They just have to protect one another's interests. They're just like, oh yeah, like you're making it up. And on the cis woman, it's like, they always think that trans women coming to like take up their space or like trying to invalidate their womanhood. For me, I never transitioned to be insecure and threatened. I have always been a very self-assured person. So when a cis person telling me that I wanted to be them, I just have to laugh.
It's interesting that experience you mentioned about, you know, asking for it or addressing for it and maybe bringing it on yourself. I think that's something that women have probably internalized since the day they were born in terms of that. Yeah. Maybe as a transgender woman, it maybe wasn't something you're aware of in the first part of your life. And it's even more shocking how outrageous it is. But it definitely is pervasive, unfortunately, for all women. I just wanted to move to, you're clearly raising a lot of awareness and providing support in everything that you do. Have you seen any kind of initiatives work better than others, whether it be affinity groups, like this kind of counseling circle you mentioned, some of the Pride events? Like, does Pride lift everyone up, every part of the LGBTQIA long list? Or does it treat all equally?
No, I don't think so. I think Pride started with like Black trans women and trans women of color, but now it's have become commercialized by like white gay cis men who majority of them just don't think that trans women belong. And I think it's kind of funny because history repeats itself, right? Like when the whole movement started, it was like trans women of color. And when they kind of got their foot in the door, Black trans women and trans women of color were the first one to be push out of it. And now it's kind of the same thing, like the LGB Alliance group, like they don't want trans people to be a part of it. Like Pride is about inclusivity. You can include cis people in it who are allies too, but now like they really want to make it about like LGB. And then also just like the money aspect of it, like it has become so commercialized. It's just like, it's one time in a year where companies can make extra money out of us just to say that they are part of it. Like even groups like GLAAD and Out Magazine and all of that, they constantly featuring the same people. They're giving awards to cis people who done the bare minimum rather than like trans people of color who putting their face out there and getting stabbed, like, you know, on a regular basis on like social media. Like for me, the whole thing is just a clown show. Majority of people like Ashley Marie Preston, who's like, she's a Black trans woman who's like used her platform to talk about like things that matter. Nobody giving her an award for it. Or people like India Moore, or people, there's so many that I cannot think of right now. But like, there's so many trans people out there that actually doing something for the community. And you're rewarding people like Meghan McCain, a Republican, white, cis, rich woman who's like, hasn't done anything. For me, it's hilarious. And I don't really believe in who they're rewarding every year anymore. I just think it's like a shit show. What initiative that I think that has been working? I think like self-education, teaching yourself and not expecting every trans person to tell you about their history, tell you about everything. That kind of helps, you know, because people always ask me on social media, like, why don't you tell us about this? And it's like, I don't like repeating myself, first of all. And then second, I don't owe you education. If you know what's the difference between a cis and trans person, you can Google. I don't have to do it. On the day, sometimes allies too can do more than just saying that they're with us. Sometimes when a cis person who is an ally to the trans community, for example, sitting next to another cis person who talks shit about the trans community, I hope that they have enough knowledge and enough courage to say, hey, that's not right. This is what you should do. Rather than, you know, just kind of like sweep it under the rug or like stay quiet. When you are doing your part as a cis person, when you're doing your part as an ally, it gives us more time and space to heal from constantly being a warrior. I just don't like that idea that trans people always have to go out there and be a warrior. I used to post so much about social awareness stuff to the point that I get burned out, but then no one's going to look after me. I have to look after myself. So now I just posting that bring me joy. When I post about the bad that I go through every day with transphobic people, people said that I'm too negative. And now when I don't post about that stuff, I post about what I enjoy doing, my trip to Japan or my vacation or whatever. People said, they're like, oh, you just forget about your trans community. You could never win. So I just hope that cis people are helping us, teaching these people, rather than trans people constantly have to defend themselves, even in a place that we're supposed to feel safe in.
So well said. And there's so much there in what you've said. And it echoes some of what my other guests have said in terms of nobody winning the gender wars and deciding not to play. But equally, I think it is that it's just so important that being a warrior is exhausting. And you know, you want to just get on with your lives. And this isn't the only aspect of your life that defines you. So it's just so important. And that's why I gathered these stories, because every trans person's experience is different.
Yeah, people need to see trans people as more than victims or warriors. Some of us don't want to fight. Majority of trans people just want to live. We just want to exist. And those people's story are valid too. I've always heard that, oh, you know, I'm trans, but I'm very comfortable living a stealth life. I don't blame them. Society hasn't been the kindest to trans people. When a trans woman feel like, okay, I'm transitioning, I feel safe, I don't want to talk about my experience, her experience should be valid too. And that should be respected. Unfortunately for myself, I put myself out there and it's too late to like go back in and disappear now. I'm going to have to stay out here. I'm going to have to stay out there here and fight on the days that I feel like fighting and stay quiet on the days that I don't feel like it. And it's just really hard. It's difficult, but I never want to make my experience feel like I'm a victim and people should feel bad for me or anything. Within these movements, there's also joy that come out of it. There are days that little things that makes you happy. Like I got a message from someone recently on my YouTube channel. She's like a 12 years old girl in South Africa. And she said, like, I watch you across the globe and you give me the reason to like be happy, be feeling like it's worth it to transition every day. And that right there for me was like a warm hug. So
I love that, a warm hug across the miles. And that's exactly what your YouTube channel is clearly doing for many. And we put a link to that in the show notes.
Do you have any advice for your younger self?
My advice to my young self would be always keep moving forward and always lead with your heart. Find freedom in everything that you do, because we're all here for a very short amount of time and we just have to make the most out of it. My message for trans youth out there and trans people in general, you don't have to be young or old or anything. I think for any trans people that listening, that it's not worth it to give up. The best way to counter any transphobia is to be visible. And I hope that every trans person or queer person who's listening, or anyone, you don't have to be trans. You can be a cis person who's having a bad day. You can be a cisgender kid, teenager, who's going through bullying or anything. That don't ever let them win. The best way that you can counter all of that is to be visible and to show up. And I just hope that everyone, even in your darkest time, know that that's not the end. I just hope everyone who's listening just keep going, keep moving forward. You don't have to be happy every day, but just know that the unhappiness, the sadness is not permanent unless you make it. But yeah, that's my message to every trans person out there.
Thank you, Vicky. It is a message for all of us. And thank you for showing up, for being so visible and so bravely visible, and for this wonderful collection of advice for life in general that you've included in this podcast here. I look forward to watching your presence only grow on your terms, of course. And thank you for coming and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I'm Ethan Devitt. Thank you for listening to our 50 Faces Focus series. If you liked what you heard and would like to tune in to hear more inspiring professionals and their stories, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. 'Cause I
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice, and all views are personal and should not be attributed to the organizations and affiliations of the host or any guest. I was made to be free.